Even before its military campaign to topple the Taliban was over, the United States government was promising to rebuild Afghanistan. At the time, critics said the Bush administration had no idea what it was getting into. Now, new health studies highlight just one of the daunting challenges Afghanistan faces. Eric Whitney has more.
Just 10 days after the 2001 Coalition Air Campaign ended in Afghanistan, researchers from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control set out to help assess the country's health situation. They've been there ever since, conducting careful studies to help prioritize how the billions of dollars in promised international aid should be spent. The results of half a dozen of these studies were recently presented at a scientific conference in Atlanta.
Afghanistan is now at a point where it follows 30 years, three decades of war, 3 years of severe drought, political instability, which we hope is improving over time, very little to none economic base, tremendous food insecurity, and massive population movements with approximately a million displaced Afghans. The average life expectancy.
That health, economic, and social conditions inside Afghanistan are among the worst in the world is no surprise to anyone familiar with its recent history. Reports from non-governmental organizations have for years pointed to multiple crises in need of attention. But many of those reports were based on very limited data and less than scientific methods. So once the Taliban was gone, the CDC, in partnership with the UN and private relief groups, took the opportunity to conduct some of the most careful and comprehensive surveys ever on health conditions in Afghanistan. The CDC's Dr. Linda Bartlett conducted the largest survey ever of maternal death rates inside Afghanistan, gathering information on nearly 90,000 people in four provinces across the country. Because access to health care is so limited, especially for women, Bartlett was expecting to find many childbirth-related deaths, but she wasn't prepared for how bad conditions were in the rural province of Badakhshan.
For example, in Kabul, many of the deaths were maternal, but in Badakhshan, the routine interview was, first of all, a maternal death, but then secondly, a story something like she was in labor for 8 or 10 days and then died undelivered. And we heard that over and over again, and it was really quite shocking.
In part because of Dr. Bartlett's research, the U.S. government has channeled extra money into programs to train obstetricians and midwives in both urban and rural areas. CDC research has also revealed a new facet of another well-known problem in Afghanistan, that of injuries from landmines and bombs left behind by three decades of war. Dr. Oleg Beluka analyzed data gathered by the International Committee of the Red Cross to find out which caused more injuries, landmines, or still active bombs, which are also known as unexploded ordnance, or UXO.
The previous reports and world opinion in general often pay more attention to landmines, and unexploded ordnance is left kind of in the shadow of landmines. In our data, it's very clear that 54% of all injuries were caused by UXO and only 37% by landmines.
Dr. Beluka's research showed that over a 16-month period, more than half of all Afghans injured or killed by leftover mines and bombs were younger than 18. But not all of the research presented at the CDC conference yielded such grim statistics. One investigation of reports of widespread and severe hunger in a refugee camp found the fears overstated, although malnutrition and lack of clean drinking water remain serious problems across much of Afghanistan. Afghanistan's ongoing measles vaccination campaign is perhaps the most positive health news in the country. For 18 months, beginning in July of 2001, an international team was able to vaccinate about 10.5 million of the estimated 11 million children in Afghanistan. For Common Ground, I'm Eric Whitney in Atlanta.